you for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, that one's a tough one, but deceives his heart, the two go together, this person's religion is worthless, is vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Lord, we ask you now to bless this reading of your word. We ask that you speak today well beyond these preachers' words, that your word will come to life and your truth will bear the fruit that sets forth. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how essential truth is to overcoming temptation. James is writing this book, in which I believe are compilations of sermons, or parts of sermons that he gave that were sent out to those who were being dispersed. He takes this idea of truth even further and showing how truth is the basis of faith. In the second chapter, he will show how faith is the basis of how we deal with every individual, faith and work. And then he will go on to just how it is lived out generally in everyday life. But this passage that we're going to look at, 19 through 27, is a pivotal chapter in the life of someone who's going to walk with the Lord, because we need to understand how this impacts their life. Now, we've been looking at it for the last couple of weeks, but I want to go even further with it because you really can't wear this out. Now, I want you to keep the notes. I want you to write this down. What is the evidence of Scripture? One, the one who seeks life in Christ craves truth. I'll say it again. The one who really is seeking life in Jesus Christ, they crave truth. 1 Peter chapter 2 says they will crave truth as a newborn baby desires the milk, mother's milk, that they may grow up unto salvation. One of the signs that you truly come to know the Lord is your soul begins to crave the Word. The one who seeks life in the world suppresses the truth. Where do I get that? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It tells us that those that in the world, they not only just ignore it, they suppress it. I think we're seeing that lived out in our nation on a more intense level than I've ever seen it lived out. When I was a kid, there seemed to be a truth, as far as I saw it as a kid, I kind of looked at truth and went, eh. believe what you believe, I believe what we believe, but don't bother each other. That's not what I see today. I see an animosity, a vindictiveness, a hatred toward truth that blows my mind. The people that say your truth is not real, your truth is wrong, your truth is nothing. Well, wait a minute. If my truth is nothing, then why does it bother you? That's like getting mad at the person that believes in the Easter Bunny. You know, the atheist dilemma is there is no God and I hate him. And so what we're beginning to see is this hatred for truth. Now, not just truth, the truth, because the folks I'm talking about, and trying not to be offensive in any way, they have developed what they would say is their truth, but a hatred for the truth. Now, when I was growing up, and we have two math teachers sitting here, and they will understand, I didn't want 2+2 before. And many times I wanted 2+2 = 5, but that's how I came out with me. Especially, I was always with 2+2, really, when x equals square, which equals this. I didn't really care what x meant. I just wanted to make something up. My teachers were very, very, very particular. That x meant such and such. What difference does it make? Oh, it makes every difference. We would understand that in the basis of mathematics. But I got to tell you, the world was made by a designer. And anything that walks out of his design ends in destruction. And if we don't understand that concept, then we're already beginning to drift into a role where not only I ignore the truth, I want to suppress it, because if I have to listen to it, if I have to acknowledge it, I have to realize I have to align to it, and I don't want to do that. So the evidence of genuine faith, writing stand, is a desire for, a dependence on the Word of God. I want to say this again. It is a desire for, a dependence on the Word of God is absolute, unalterable truth. Now, most of you, many of you in this room, I don't know if much, grew up in church like I did. I never had a problem with this truth. I never once questioned whether this was true. Never once. There were times I didn't like what it said. And let me just say something. There's never once in the Bible where God said we had to like it. He said we had to accept it. We had to trust it. We needed to walk in it. He encourages us to love it. But there are a lot of people I love that I don't really like. Don't look at me like that. I love them, but I don't know if I really like them. The Lord goes, no, we got to go past that point. So I want you to understand something. I have to stop right here foundationally and say, this is absolute, unalterable truth. That has to be the basis of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I would love to tell you that's where the church is today, but it really isn't. Now, not this one. I pray it's not this one. I know the heart of every leader I work with here, and I've never heard anything different. This has to begin to permeate our lives. It has to be authenticated in everything we do. It has to be activated in the totality of our lives. So in order for God to permeate truth in my daily life, there has to be an uncompromising certainty, one, that Christ is the answer to all of life. Do you believe that? Do you believe ultimately Christ is the answer? He is the answer to X equals Y equals Y. Whether you like it or not. Do you really believe this? Well, let me ask you, do you believe it when your teenage daughter becomes pregnant? Is Jesus the answer to life? Do you believe that when your son has just been arrested? Is Jesus the answer to life? Do you believe that when you find out your spouse is cheated on? Is Jesus you believe that when you find out you have cancer and you may only have two months to live? Is Jesus the answer to life? The Sunday school answer is yes. But there are those things that happen in our life that I may know Jesus is the answer to life, but I sure wish he would know how I find the answer to get through the day. His word reveals who he is. This reveals who Christ is. There is no other place to go. One of the reasons that the book of Colossians was written is because there was this mindset in the Gentile world that though Christ was a truth, there was a truth out there, something in the cosmos of which Jesus was only a part. And the book of Colossians says Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God in flesh. There is no truth apart from him. All the wisdom and truth of the universe, all the wisdom and the truth of God is in Jesus Christ. Now, that is a tall order, but if we don't believe that, then this book is just another book on our shelf, and we're trying to look for something to meet the need of the day when we have to believe, ultimately, Jesus is the answer to my life. There is never any deviation between who he is, what his will is, and what his word says about him. Never. So in accordance with that, James gives us three guidelines. We're only going to deal with one of them today in life situations. The first one is be swift to hear. I want you to write that down somewhere. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Oh, isn't that marvelous? That was next week. Swift to hear. In other words, we've got to learn to listen to and for what God says. Some time ago, my son Zachary, who really is a lot smarter than I am, I'm glad he's not here today. Don't ever tell him to say this. But he gets into all this stuff about quantum physics, and he reads that stuff. Any of my taking chemistry in high school? I'll tell you two stories. There was a point in chemistry which my teacher called me up toward the end of the year. He said, I'm going to give you a D. You really deserve an F. I'm telling you two stories. But he said, I know that in reality you're doing the best. This is true. The best you can, you just don't get it. Now, I don't know if Terry or any of you teachers ever do that, but now you've thought that with some students. It's not that they're not trying, they just don't get it. I remember reading a paragraph in a chemistry book four times and saying, I know that was in English, I bet. So, Zachary and I were talking, and he told me about this thing called the string theory. And the string theory goes this way. Instead of the idea, I'm going to read this from my notes so I don't get it wrong. Instead of treating subatomic particles as the fundamental building blocks of matter, the theory goes this way, that everything is made of unbelievably tiny strings whose vibrations produce the effects that we interpret as atoms and electrons and quarks. If that's true, and I believe it is, that means there is a vibration that moves throughout the universe. And I believe it comes from a voice that is God. What the Christians don't realize that every time they come up with something, they're only proving Scripture, they just don't want to believe it. Because they're suppressing the truth. And the first time I heard that, I thought, there it is. In the beginning, God said, let there be. I mean, he's still speaking. I mean, he's still working. Everything is working off of it. So, I want you to go, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get today. I'm just going to have to stop at some point. And Mark chapter 4. Jesus is speaking. And he says this, verse 21. And he said to them, as a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention or take heed to what you hear. For with the measure, I'm going to come back to this, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added. For the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So my question to you today is, what are you listening to? Are you allowing truth to get in and take root in your mind? I'm going to tell you this. Life is tough. I don't know if you're ready for what the next few months will hold in this nation, because whatever happens in this election, it's going to be a powder keg. Now, I'm not preaching politics. I'm just telling you, the world's getting crazy. I'm finding more and more people that are living in strife, they're dealing with stress, they're dealing with confusion, they're dealing with frustrations in life. And my question to them is, what counsel are you actually taking? And be careful of what sneaks in. Do we know the difference between what seems true and what is true? For instance, sometimes it's a very fine line. Brandon just thought it turns us to be a loving church. But sometimes there's a fine line with a parent loving a child and enabling a child. The idea that I am know what truth is because I'm solidly working through a basis of truth that is guiding me, and I know when someone speaks into my life, what they're speaking to my life is based on truth or based upon their experience of which they think is true. And if I don't have a firm foundation of what is true, I will latch on what feels good at the moment. Now, I want to say something to you, and I'm probably going to hurt myself because this will come back to haunt me, but here it is. The mind never stops. So when you look at your husband and say, what are you thinking? And he says nothing, he's lying. He may not be able to put into words, but there's no point in which it just blanks out. I know some of you are like, you don't know my husband. When you look at her and say, what are you thinking? And she says nothing, I can tell you that's not true. And a lot of times, you just don't know how to put it into words. I heard years ago, men don't mind if the wives know what they're thinking as long as they have to verbalize it. You can, like, put a hose right in her head and suck it out. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The mind never stops. So what forms the underlying basis of your thought life? Because it never stops. Even while I'm speaking to you, I have an underlying thought process that is thinking at a different speed than what I'm speaking to you right now. Do you what I'm saying? You can talk to someone and be thinking about something else at the same time, because I've seen some of you do it, and I know it's true. Ever been reading something and you got to the end of the paragraph and realized you knew you read every word of that paragraph, but you didn't have a word you knew what it said because you were thinking about something else the entire time? You know, that's where most of us live our entire lives. The Bible says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. It also says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is, think on these things. It said, if you would know the truth, it would set you free. It says, bring every thought captive to Christ. That means we must make the Word of God the basis of our truth, the basis of our reality, of how I see and deal with life. Yes, we know. Amos said in chapter 7, that Amos, that God is always working down the middle of people, and I think that's exactly what Brandon just said, God's plumb line. God is working a plumb line of truth and spirit down the middle of his people all the time, to which they must align to the plumb line, not the plumb line divining to itself. Most of us want the plumb line to be a pendulum that somehow catches us somewhere. But the plumb line holds, and then I align my life to the plumb line. The problem, Amos said, in chapter 8 of Amos, is that the problem was there was a famine of hearing the word of God in the land. So if there is a plumb line, but I have no idea that it's there, I'm going to live any way I want to live. Do you truly believe? I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. You can, but I wouldn't encourage you. Do you really believe God watches over everything you do? Do you really believe? Do you believe He hears every word you say? Do you believe He knows every thought you think? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? I thought some thoughts, and I'm like, you didn't hear that, did you? I want to tell you something that I believe is true, and I think most of you in this room believe it. The problem with our culture today is not that it wants to do wrong. It just has no clue what's right anymore. If I'm going down the road today and I get caught in a speed zone that's 45 and I'm doing 65, I may not know that the speed zone was only 45. When I'm stopped, that officer or trooper or deputy may look at me and say, ignorance is no excuse. You still have broken the law. And just because you didn't know does not excuse you from the fact that you're living outside of what was designed as the way that life lives. We're living in a culture that has gotten so many things swinging back and forth, we don't know what to grab hold of, and most of the time, even people sitting in our churches really have not ever really looked at truth. They've only looked at some collage of it, and they've heard a sermon here and there, or they've heard a thought lesson here or there, they've heard that, but getting into the Word and finding what it really says, most of us are like me in that chemistry class. They've read it, and they look up and go, I don't get it. But I've got to tell you something very important. Ephesians chapter 5 says it is my responsibility to know the will of God. When I stand before God, He will say, what did you do with truth? This is not something we can haphazardly think about. This is essential. It's why marriages fail. It's why families fail. It's why governments fail. It's because they try to create a truth that doesn't work. And this is where we're living. So let me just say something as I begin to kind of pull this to a close. Studies show that 80% of what we do, listen to me, 80%, I mean it's more than that, is subconscious. It's unguarded. Meaning, I just do it. You ever have your wife look at you and say, why do you do that? I don't know, I just do it. I have this habit of banging my spoon on a cup after I finish, and I know every time I do it, I hear Robin go, I don't know what I do. Let's do it. Bing, bang, 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 bang. It's always 3 times. Bang, bang, bang. She has her stuff, and I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going there. I may have not passed chemistry, but I'm not an idiot, okay? I get a witness. That's a whole other lesson, isn't it? That's a whole other sermon. I'll let Gary deal with that one. Okay. In other words, we react on reflex. Not act, we react on reflex. I sit at the doctor's office, he does it, my leg goes back. It just does it. That's what it does. So what is your reaction based on? Mark this down. The reactions that come at us are either going to be a reflection of the Word of God in us or the world around us. I'll say that again. What I see coming out of Pastor Paul's life, or Pastor Carey, or Fran, or Robin, or Jay back here, or any of you, Brendan, is going to be a reflection of what he lives by, the Word of God within him or the world around him. everything. When we get caught in the squeeze of life, is the world around you going to come out, or is the Word within you? Or if suddenly you're in the crisis of your life and you found out the 2 hours of looking at reels on Instagram is not helping you. Don't look at me like that. That's how Rob and I communicate. I sit on the porch and sit in the bedroom, we send reels to each other. I'd like to say I'm above it, but I'm not. And so now I'm in the crisis of my life, and all I have to go in is something I might have heard, whatever, but I don't have any plumb line, I don't have any direction. I'm just operating on reflex, and every reflex says, this is about me, I've got to guard me, I got to feel good about me. Because that's what reflex does. I want to read something to you. This is what the Bible says. Again, I didn't say you had to like it. Have you heard what it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? But I say you do not resist the evil one. What? If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. What? And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak as well. What? And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Are you crazy? Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. I don't want to pay for it. You understand that? Jesus. Well, he needs to get a little oil, doesn't he? Let me tell you something else he said. This is going to be even harder. Let me get it here. Luke chapter 17. Here it is. Pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Okay. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and then turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you should forgive him. Is that what it says? No. It says you must forgive him. Oh, we don't conclude the must. I don't like this. Jesus said. Here's what I'm saying. We think we know the truth until the truth actually confronts us and we realize we've taken the truth and made our own thing out of it. I do a lot of drama, and I'm in a play right now, and I've got to tell you, I've been given lines, but I take a lot of liberties with them. I add words here and there. By the time the show's over, you're like, that wasn't your line at all. But then I get by with that because it's not eternal. You still don't get to do that with the Word of God. You see, if I was writing this, I'd say, and I, do not resist the evil one. Well, do resist him to a point he can't be evil anymore. If anyone slaps you, turn the right cheek. Well, if he hits the right cheek, what do you do? Don't say anything after that. He stays in fighting for everything he's got. That's not what this says. I don't like it. I never preached a sermon on it. When I started putting it together, I thought, I don't like that. But that's what it says. I say to you, love your enemy. You say you still love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How distinctive are we supposed to be? Our lives are supposed to look like this. Whatever is hidden, we already read, will be disclosed. It will come to light. I call it scratch and sniff. You remember what scratch and sniff is? Most of us don't get magazines anymore because it's all online. But it used to be there would be this page that would be about a cologne, and if you would scratch it, the flavor would come up. You remember scratch and sniff? That's where most of us are. We look good to somebody scratches it. And then it's like, Oh, no. You've been trying to hide that smell. Because what you've been trying to look super sweet and everything, but in reality, there's an anger inside of you that's just waiting to hurt. The measure you use is the measure to be used. I'm not saying create a hard-nosed, this is what the Bible says, and I'm going to beat you with the Bible. It's the idea that I become so much, the Word of God becomes so much a part of me that it becomes a voice. And as that voice becomes a part of me, I begin to hear the Spirit use the Word of God say, do this, now do this. And the more I pour it in, measure upon measure, the measure is used back. First Peter chapter 2 says it's mother's milk. That's more than just milk. Mother's milk is a bonding thing. Bonds that child to the mother. The Word of God binds me to the divine. It binds me to the Word. To bonding. So it can be used constantly in my life to know what the voice of God sounds like. Real quick. In Luke chapter 8, it says, be careful how you hear. So what are you listening for? Stay with me for just 5 minutes. Most men have a left ear. Can I get a witness? Robin says, will you take out the trash? I normally don't hear that. Just he yells the third time. If he says it's time to eat, I hear that in the backyard with a lawnmower on. If he says, hey, baby, I hear that anytime. So it's not that I don't hear it, it's just that I'm not listening for it. Now, if I'm out in the woods and I'm walking and I hit a stick and I pick it, every stick goes. Why? Because I'm out in the woods and I'm listening. I got to tell you this story. I'm out in the woods in North Carolina. I'm just walking around. I said, I wonder if I see a bear. It's true. I turned a corner and there he was. I'm so thankful he didn't see me because they say he'll be more scared of me. No, he could not have been. Now, I got to tell you the reason I saw him is because I was looking for him. Because he was back here, and when I turned, I said, I wonder if there's a bear. I could have walked right up on him. The problem, most of us don't hear the Word of God, and most of us don't hear the truth, because we're not listening to it. Jesus said, beware. Or Hebrews chapter 5 says, we have dull hearing. We don't have a thirst for the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 15, hearing you do not hear. We have developed a sluggishness toward truth. We live preoccupied lifestyles. Life's too busy. Here's what it is in Jesus, which James, I don't read. You can't read or you won't read. My brother, you find the task on this test, but you know, you're still working on it. Mike, you're still working on it. How much reading you had to do? So you don't get to say, I don't read anymore, do you? Mike might be one of those that I read a lot. He's having to read probably with his life depends on it. You know your life depends on it? My brother seems to worry, but he just passed a big test. How much reading did he had to do reading that he thought I would never, would you have ever read any of this stuff before if you had a job? No. Well, preacher, you have time to read it. You have time to read it. I got to tell you, I went up to North Carolina, and I had some downtime. And I got to tell you, I'd love to tell you, I spent 3 hours daily in the book. You know what? I did a screen time thing, and I found out that I had spent 4 hours flipping. I didn't have time to read about it. No, I didn't. Just didn't use my time. Well, I got my Bible on my phone. Okay. 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 Yeah. There you go. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm just trying to tell you what I've not. Because we're reading. We have not because we're asking. There's so much, it says, what you have will be taken from you. What you do have will add. What you don't have will be taken from you. We live lives with our minds made up. We live lives with our minds closed. And what I find with most people, instead of a voice, all they have is a noise. Fighting, thing going on in their head all the time. Your mind is never still. It is either hearing a voice from the Lord or hearing a noise of the world. It is never still. Decide what it's going to work on. Because if you don't, the enemy will. Then we'll call the band up. Come on up. I know this is not a sermon that's probably going to fill the altar. I know that. But I want to say this to us. A time is now here, and time coming in our nation where the church of God must shine as a light. I cannot change Washington. I cannot change Tallahassee. I can't even change what goes on in the county. But the Word of God can be a light to this church that touches the hearts of people. And as one heart is touched, it touches another. And what begins to happen is revival begins to happen in the body of Christ and the church in America. And what will begin to happen in the middle of chaos, a revival breaks out. During the Civil War, one of the greatest revivals that was ever recorded happened during the war, happened before the war. Before every cataclysmic time, it's been a chance for revival. Now is the time for the church to get into the Word of God, to walk according to the Spirit of God, and quit thinking that we're going to change government, but God has given us the duty to reconcile men to God. Yes, I would love to change things that go on. I would. I wish I could, but I can't. I know this, that when God's people pray, He's told us that in prayer, He's given us the ability together to bind. What we bind here is bound in heaven. What we loose here is loosed in heaven. There is a point where this people and churches across the nation can be the change engine of America, but it's got to quit thinking it can do it by wearing red or blue. It only comes by the blood of Jesus. And until we get a hold of the mindset that the body of Christ has been here longer than there was an American government, there will always be Jesus. And ultimately, if the body of Christ, if communism came down in the electorate and the church still stood, the same will happen here. When the wall came down in Berlin, the church was still standing. There's a church standing in Iran. There's a church of the revival happening in Iran. There's a church and revival happening in China. And there is no government in this world that will stop the power of a people when they're on their knees and in the Word of God. Now, we've got to quit acting like everything depends on the voting box. Everything depends on the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in it. And until that gets a hold of us, we act like we're defeated. We're not. Satan may rage, but God will stand. I'm going to ask the praise team to play, but I'm going to ask you, are you ready to say? It was so much time, and as Brandon was reading that, I thought, my gosh, that's it. What he just read is what the church can be. Are we ready to be that? I think we need to fill this altar and say, God, we want to be a people who are reconciling people to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to fill this altar and say, make it me. I want to be that person that makes it come alive. So we say, sing, would you come? And can we close by saying, Lord, make this church a light in this community. Come on. Let's fill this place. Come on.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.